You're listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. My name is Lynn, and today I have a special guest, Eric. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi.
Eric did a show with me before with Mary also, and we talked about hypnotherapy and various different things like that. So if you enjoy listening to what we have to say today, you can go back to our archives and look up, I think it was categorized as hypnotherapy, possibly. If not, send us an email and we'll find it and send it to you. But today, Eric and I are going to talk about words. And before you hit that button to not listen to the show, understand the importance of words. Because words are the way that we communicate. So what we say matters. If we're just talking gibberish, people don't really pay attention to us. And likewise, if we're long-winded and hoity-toity using big words, people think that they're not going to be able to understand us. So we have to find appropriate words to be able to communicate with each other. And one of the things that I want to emphasize is that children believe everything we say. Children do not understand sarcasm, and I find it very sad when they finally learn it. Children believe that what we say is the truth, is accurate, is 100%, is what they should strive for, is what defines them, and
is who they are as well.
Right, right. And the universe is like a child. The universe believes everything we say.
And the universe focuses on the nouns that we use. If we put in a not or any kind of a counter to it, the universe doesn't feel the not part. So when we use words like don't, the universe feels the do, but not the not part. And it responds to the do. So it's kind of, it probably doesn't make a whole lot of sense the way we're kind of bringing this up, but the focus of your thought is where the energy goes. And so if you have a thought, well, like, just, you know, everybody learns that we focus on what we don't want rather than on what we do want. Like, the first words that you would think of when you're trying to say something like, don't forget to pick up groceries, you know, rather than remember to pick up groceries. You focus on the negative aspect, don't forget. And we all do it, and I don't know why, but it's something that we learn growing up. And we need to stop working like that and thinking like that. We need to start focusing on what we do want and put that out into the universe. Thoughts and words have energy. Everything is made of energy. And so our thoughts are energy that we can change. Our words are energy that we can change. And we can change the reality around us, change the environment around us, with words, with our thoughts. And as we focus on what we want, then that is more likely to attract what we want. But as we focus on what we don't want, it's more likely to attract what we don't want. Like, if you're planning a picnic tomorrow, you say, I hope it's not gonna rain. That's focusing on it raining. And you're a lot more likely to have poor weather. But if you say, I hope it's going to be a beautiful day tomorrow for our nice picnic, you're putting that energy out into the universe to draw in the positive, the beautiful weather. And the more you focus on what you want, the more likely you are to attract it, as like attracts like, and birds of a feather flock together. As a man thinketh, so is he.
That's my favorite. As you think, yeah, you become.
And as you sow, so shall you reap. I mean, there's so many ways of saying it, but the gist is Your thoughts and words create reality. And as you think and as you speak, you are putting that frequency and that vibration out into the universe. It's creating the ripples on the water that touch all the other energies around you. And then, you know, like an echo in a canyon, if you shout out, "You're stupid," that canyon is going to echo back to you, "You're stupid." If you shout out, "You're beautiful, I love you," the canyon, the universe, is going to echo back, "You're beautiful, I love you." And that's a powerful thing to understand. And when you realize that, what you put out is what you get back. It's not just karma, it's not just, you know, in very specific things, it's in everything. The thoughts you put out are what you get back. They're what are reflected back to you. The words you put out, compliments, focusing on the things that you like, things that you want, things that you appreciate, gratitude, love, that's what's reflected back to you. If you spend your days spewing out filth, spewing out anger, hatred, violence, that's what comes back to you. That's what you surround yourself with, because that's the frequency that you're resonating in. And everything resonates at specific frequencies. And then a balance is sought. And so if you're resonating at a very low frequency of fear, anger, violence, frustration, then all other frequencies that resonate on that level will be drawn to you. So, like attracts like, and if you are putting out violence, anger, and fear, then you're going to be surrounding yourself with people who are also attracted and focused on violence, anger, and fear.
Can I offer up an example of that?
Sure.
I'll give you two.
I kind of went off there.
That's all right. And the emphasis was fantastic. But again, for some people who are more, give me an example. Every year around Christmas time, I go to one store. I don't shop there any other time except around Christmas. And that's because usually at Christmas, they have really good deals on things I have to have. And every time I go to that store, I always park in the same, within four spots, the same spot. And I've had people with me sometimes, and they say, "Oh, where are we going to park? Oh, I hope you can find a spot." And I'm like, "It's fine. I have a place. I always park there." And if they start in with, "Well, how do you know it's going to be available?" I say, "It's always available. It's where I park." I'll end up six or seven spots away because their negativity counterbalanced. Mm-hmm. But if I go alone, I'm always within two spots. It's always the same two spots. What you put out echoes back.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine recently was helping out with something, and another lady kept saying to her, "Oh, don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself. Let me help you."
Mm-hmm.
And it really kind of gave the impression that the first lady was incapable or not strong enough, somehow weaker, frail, whatever. And later that day, the second woman told me that when she was at the store, somebody came out and said, "Oh, let me help you put the water in your car." She bought, you know, a case mm-hmm. of water. "Let me help you put the water in your car." And she butted in, grabbed the water, and put it in the car for this second lady. And the second lady told me, "I was so hurt. She just acted like I couldn't do it, like I'm not strong enough."
Mm-hmm.
And I went ahead and let the second lady talk for a while, and I said, "That's a little bit like how earlier today when you were helping the other woman and you kept telling her not to do things."
Mm-hmm.
I bet that's how she felt. And the facial reaction was such that you would have thought I hit this woman. Because she was like, "Well, no.
It's different.
That's not what I meant. She was helping, but, you know, she's not supposed to be doing this stuff." And I said, "Well, perhaps the lady that helped you thought that you didn't need to be doing heavy lifting of a case of water." And she's like, well, she didn't even know me. And I said, and how well did you know this other woman that you were helping? You know, and while the helping and over-helping was going on, you know, I was there at the time, and any time the second woman said something to me about it, like, she shouldn't be doing this. Mm-hmm. My response every time was, she knows her limits. Mm-hmm. If she shouldn't be doing something, I'm sure she won't.
Yeah.
And I put out the respect for this woman to do what she could and not do what
right.
she felt was inappropriate for her to be doing, heavy lifting or whatever. But it was so funny because both of these things happened the exact same day,
mm-hmm.
within maybe 2.5 hours.
Right.
And it was like, I wanted to cheer for the universe. I was like, yeah, thank you for an example, because that was making me crazy.
It's good karma.
Yeah. And see, I don't believe in karma, but it was, it was like, you know, you kept making this woman feel like she wasn't good enough.
Right.
And I stayed out of it. But then later, somebody made that woman feel like she wasn't good enough. And it's like, how does that feel?
To me, that basically is...
That's the echo.
Is karma. You know, karma is the echo. I'm sure everybody has a different view on what that might mean to them. But to me, it's that... that reflection, the echo, the reinforcement of where you are vibrationally.
Right. The energy that you put out.
Right.
Is what's ricocheting back or boomeranging
right.
back to you.
Right. Exactly. And so to me, that's karma. That's showing you where you are, what you're putting out, because that's what is being reflected to you. And so when you can start being aware of your thoughts and your words, then you can start to make a change and see things shift. You know, the more that you focus on what you want rather than what you don't want, the more you can start appreciating what you already have.
Right.
And you can start feeling the gratitude and appreciation of all the beautiful things that you have and around you, and just life in general. No matter what stresses you might be under, if it's job stress, you know, keep in mind there are people in the world that have no idea that the company you work for even exists, and they don't care.
Right.
And everything that seems so important to you and is putting pressure on you right now, there are so many people that don't even know that that exists, and they don't care. So why do you?
Right.
But just allowing yourself to appreciate things, focus on what you want, focus on positive energy, and put out what you want to receive back. You know, treat your neighbor as you would have them treat you. And
now, I know a lot of people, and I'll interrupt you just for a split second. There's a lot of people out there saying, oh, I'm treating my neighbor as he treated me.
Yeah, but
and it's like,
is
no,
that what you wanted?
That's not how you want him to treat you. That's your impression of how
right.
he wants to be treated. Because if your neighbor's being a jerk, right. you're being a jerk back to him because you think that's how he wants to be treated. But when your neighbor's being a jerk to you, you should be kind back to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want that kindness.
Right. And you,
don't want the jerkiness. Let them have all the jerkiness they want on their own. They'll get plenty
yeah.
from other people, I'm sure. They don't need it from you.
Right. And you have no idea what's going on in their life.
Right.
There might be a very good reason why they're being a jerk right now, or why they've been a jerk for the last 10 years.
Right.
They might have had a very difficult life and hard circumstances, and they might have health issues that they're in constant pain. You just never know.
Or they may be incredibly lonely, and it's the only human interaction they have is to scream at you and with you and from you,
mm-hmm.
and have the police come and hang out with them for 10 minutes and tell them how, you know, I mean,
right.
that's the thing. You have no idea what's going on with people. And that's part of why words matter so much.
Right.
I have been told by people who actually do love me that I am way too picky about the words being used.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in relationships, and why did they say this instead of that? If they meant that, they should have said that. They shouldn't have said this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what they meant. Well, me knowing what they meant doesn't right. change what they said.
Right, and the energy that they put out.
Right, right. I dated a guy who said to me, "You stink pretty." I'm like, "What does that mean?" And he goes, "You stink pretty. You're all fancied up." And I said, "Stink is a bad thing. Pretty is a good thing. Can you phrase that in such a way that I know what you're talking about?"
Please elaborate.
And he's like, "Well, you know what I meant." Well, what you meant is you just told me that I stink, but it's a good thing. So I stink in a way that's tolerable. Well, so, I mean, that's not a compliment.
You're attractive, but you smell bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, forget it. So, again, that's part of the reason we're not together anymore. But, you know, sarcasm, you know, you and I talked before the show, we talked a little bit about people saying things sarcastically, you know, "Have a good day," followed up with, "Oh, I'm sure I'm gonna." Mm-hmm. It's that negative energy behind it that will make sure that you don't have a good day.
Right.
It's not the words that you said, "Oh, I'm sure I'm gonna." Because people tell me, "Have a good day." And I'm like, "Thank you. I already am."
Yeah.
And I do. And the day keeps getting better. But there are other people who say, "Oh, I'm sure that's going to happen." And it's that negative energy. It's that sarcastic. It's that
the emotion and feeling behind it that,
right.
that is the amplifying signal for that frequency.
Right.
And so that's an important thing to remember too, is your feelings and emotions fuel that energy. So with sarcasm, it's a negative, contrary emotion, and you're kind of amplifying the negative aspect of what you're saying. And you know, the universe feels what you're feeling, and that's what it's going to reflect back to you. So if you're feeling negativity in what you're saying, then the universe will reflect back that negativity. If you're feeling positive, whatever feeling you're having is amplifying what it is that you're saying and thinking.
So just to be clear, the guy that I dated that used sarcasm a lot, it was his fault I broke up with him, because even though he said all the right things, he said them with sarcastic undertones. And I picked up on that negative energy.
Yeah, I mean, if he's saying everything sarcastically, then there's just this
it was a
negative
battle.
Energy.
Yeah, it was a constant battle to figure out, did he mean what he said, and he's really cruel enough to just say that to my face, or is he being sarcastic? And some of the psychology courses I've taken as far as sexual assault and things like that, they talk about sarcasm being a means of power and control,
mm-hmm.
whereas the person using the sarcasm is in the power seat. I'm always going to keep you guessing of what exactly I meant. Did mm-hmm. I mean exactly what I said, in which case you should be happy? Or yeah. did I say the opposite of what I meant? And it keeps the other person guessing, which gives the person using sarcasm the upper hand.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're talking to me, and I'm just like, you know, if you're going to be sarcastic, just go away.
Yeah.
I don't have time for that.
It's kind of a passive-aggressive and...
Right, right. If I want puzzles, we'll sit down and do puzzles. But if we're having a conversation, I expect you to say what you mean. And I've had interactions with people, whether, you know, a romantic relationship or otherwise, where we were, you know, discussing about getting together or not, and the other person would say something along the lines of, you know, "You know, I might as well just stay home. What the heck?" And I'm like, "Well, okay, you do that. I'm going to find something to do. Bye." And I hang up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to sit there and argue with them about whether or not they want to get together with me.
Right.
If it's not important enough for them to want to spend time with me, okay. I'm not going to argue my importance in your life.
Right. And wasting both our time.
Exactly. And I don't wish them any ills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're not feeling that they can communicate that they want to spend time with me, then they can be alone. I'm going to go find something to do. It's not.
and if you spend more time convincing them to come with you, then you know they're going to spend the whole time complaining about it.
Right.
"I should have just stayed home. Oh, well, I don't want to do that." And
right, right, right. We talked a little bit about our intent our meaning behind the words. But I think it's important to emphasize the actual definition of the words. I know lately here we are in Ohio in the fall, and I heard someone say the other day that they were trying to catch a cold. And being the literal person that I am, I wanted to say, well, that's really stupid. You shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But
why would you want to catch a cold?
Right? But I realized that their intent was, I feel like I'm beginning to come down with a cold, which is completely different than I'm trying to catch a cold. You know?
And that's not what they said.
That's not what they said. And I just, my, I'll tell you, Eric, the energy I put out was, well, you're an idiot, because that's dumb. So I'm waiting to see what comes to me as the result of my energy of, well, you're an idiot, that's dumb. I'm waiting to see what comes back to me that I'm an idiot and I'm dumb.
Well,
because it will.
I think they'll be successful in catching that cold, though, and, you know, the more they focus on trying to catch it,
right,
sooner or later, they'll succeed and have a full-blown cold, and they'll go, I knew it. I knew it was coming. I'm right.
See,
yay, I'm sick, but I'm right.
See, I'm an optimist. I knew I was getting sick, and I did. Look at me.
Mm-hmm. Some people would rather be right than happy.
Yep.
And that's another whole topic.
I was going to say, that's another whole show. Some people are only happy when they're miserable.
Right.
And that's Eeyore syndrome, you know?
Yeah.
From Winnie the Pooh. Eeyore is, oh, bother, yeah. You know?
Everything's bad. Cloudy day. It's going to rain, probably. But Pooh, on the other hand, is very zen.
Yep.
And I think
today will be whatever it will be.
Mm-hmm. And Piglet says, how do you spell love? And Pooh says, you don't spell it, you feel it.
That's cool. I hadn't heard that. That's cool. Well, I made a comment that I'm a very literal person. And I can throw around some sarcasm. I just don't like to. I feel like a liar when I do that. One of the things that I learned in sexual assault of children training, you know, how does this happen? How do they get away with it? And stuff like that. Children are very literal.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're sexually assaulted at a young age, it physically changes our brain chemistry. It kind of holds us a little more in place there. And it's a little bit scary, but the more literal a person is, that what the word you chose to use at that exact moment means more than anything else that you said around that word,
mm-hmm.
those people tend to be people who were sexually assaulted when they were children.
Mm.
Because when we're children, we're very literal.
Right.
And we are taught sarcasm, and we are taught negativity, and we are taught
racism and bigotry,
chaos and
yeah,
hatred and all of those things. So, I'm not suggesting that if you know somebody who's very literal that you should walk up to them and say, hey, were you sexually assaulted as a kid? Because this lady on the radio show said you probably were. I don't think it's to that extent. But it does reinforce how children have an innocence about them that when we're sexually assaulted, that literal, taking everything literal seems to be the only innocence we hang on to.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the world is bigger and scarier, and things happen we don't want to happen, and we don't know how to change what's happened. We don't know how we feel about what's happened. But they said, you know, somebody looking back might say, well, the person who assaulted me said that I was beautiful, so I know I'm beautiful. But that's that mixed signal because, well, they were also sexually assaulting me or physically abusing me at the same time. And it confuses us.
Right.
And sometimes we turn into people that are wonderful with sarcasm because we know about the opposites. And other times, like in my case, I can't stand sarcasm. It makes me nuts because I've had so much of my life chaos of people saying one thing and meaning something else, and I'm supposed to guess what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, you're beautiful, sweetie. Come here, give me a hug. no. I'm beautiful. The last time somebody told me I was beautiful, they didn't just want a hug and things got awful. No, you know, and it just, children are very literal and they pick up on that energy.
And they also, yes, they definitely take the words of someone older, especially a role model, anyone in authority over them.
Even relative, an older sibling that they look up to. Anyway,
right. But anybody like that they can say anything and that child will believe it. And, you know, even if it's just, you're so clumsy, you'll never be able to do, you know, anything. Or you're stupid, you'll never succeed in life. Just things like that, or you're ugly, nobody will ever love you, I'm the only one.
right.
But children hear these words, even if it was meant sarcastically.
Right.
And they take that on, and that becomes who they are.
That is a fact.
Stamp it in stone on their forehead. I am stupid. I am ugly. I am not talented. And that becomes who they are, and they grow up believing that, whether they remember it or realize it or not, and they're never able to get beyond that label, and they don't know why. Like, why can't I ever attract someone that loves me for who I am? Oh, it's because you believe, since
who
childhood,
you are is a stupid, clumsy, or whatever their label.
That can't be loved by anybody. Yeah, and so a lot of times in hypnotherapy sessions that I do, when we're looking to find the cause of an issue in a person's life, it often stems with going back to something that happened in childhood with something that somebody said.
And I like to emphasize, that doesn't mean, well, tell me about your relationship with your mother is going to be the core of everything.
No, not
but
at all.
But it's as children, what we are exposed to and repeatedly confirmed in our lives is what we become.
Right.
And you're so little, which, okay, now I'm 5'2½ for the rest of my life, because everybody always said, oh, you're so little. Well, I was a child. I was supposed to be little.
Well, but also things like, oh, you take after your father's side of the family and they're all fat, so you're going to be fat too.
Right.
And now 30 years old or 50 years old, I've never been able to lose weight.
Right, because I take after my dad's side.
Because I take after my dad's side and they're all fat.
Right.
All of your dad's side? There's not anyone? Really? And even still, that doesn't mean, just because they ate poorly or they have a different metabolism, doesn't mean that you do.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be who you are. You don't have to live by somebody else's label. But the words that were used, and getting back to our topic, the words that are used, when they're used on a small child, the child takes that in as truth.
Right.
This is the gospel. I am going to be fat, and there's nothing that I can do about it.
Right.
So be more aware of the words that we use and the thoughts that we have, and realize, are these my thoughts? Are these my words? Or is this from somebody else? Do I need to believe that? Also, focus on what we want. Think about the things that we enjoy, what we like, what we want to do, rather than what we don't want to do or don't want to have happen. I hope I don't get into an accident. The roads are getting kind of slippery. I hope I don't get into an accident. Rather than, I hope I stay safe. I hope I make it home perfectly safe. And, you know, focus on what you want. Stop saying, don't forget.
Start saying remember.
Remember.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Choose your words to the positive.
And when you're talking with children, remember, they believe everything you say. And Eric, thank you so much. We piled out a lot of information, and I think it's great.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate you being here again. You have been listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. And the words for today are healing starts here.